Well, they'll find a reason. Somebody needs to get the sound guy or something like that up here. Hey, show me the first slide if you could, Daisy. I want you to wear pink next week. You can wear one. Roger or somebody, there, it shut off, right? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We thought it, and it was quiet. Good. Everybody, hey, wear pink next week, some sort of pink. Some guys wear pink socks. You can wear a pink tie, amen, if you're a man. Some of you will get totally decked out in pink. That'd be great, too. And it's not that we want to honor cancer, because cancer is not of God. But we recognize that we've gone through that battle, some of us. And whether we, our loved ones on the other side, they didn't really lose that battle if God was their healer, because God completely healed them. They're now in heaven. Or if they're going through a battle of cancer, we pray for the sick. We believe that God heals people still, that Jesus, the stripes of Christ, heal people. We thank God that cancer's not in our midst. We make this a cancer-free zone, but we wear pink just to make sure that we're aware of what's going on around us. And it's a beautiful Sunday. I want you to be part of it next week. Make sure that you bring those that need prayer especially, or invite those to do that this coming Sunday. Finally, the second announcement that I have for you real quick that's real important is the Man Up Conference is this coming Saturday. Many of you guys have signed up. We're really roster full, but we're going to make exceptions for that limited space that we have, plus the limited discount that we're giving just away. If you continue to sign up today, we'll keep that going for $15, normally a $25 rate, but we'll kick in the rest. Living Faith will do that for you. But make sure that you sign up right outside the foyer table. You can see Leonard Ziegler or Mike Montgomery. They'll be there at that table, and you'll see they'll give you a brochure about Man Up 2017. By the way, Chris Brizard, which is Fox Sportsnet, talking head analyst, he sent us a video. Let's go ahead and watch that, guys, and you'll see how he personally invited you to Man Up. We'll rerun it with the sound if you could, Daisy. That'd help me out.
Hey, brothers, this is Chris Broussard from the King Movement and Fox Sports One, and I'm excited about coming to San Antonio in October for the Man Up Conference. I'm so excited. I had to put on a Kawhi Leonard t-shirt. Kawhi, though. But I'm more excited about the Man Up Conference than I am about the Spurs, because as you guys know, biblical manhood is under attack. So those of us who follow Jesus Christ have to come together and strengthen one another so that we can stand firm against the attacks of the enemy. And that's what we're going to do at Fortress Church on Saturday, October 21st at the Man Up Conference. I will be there. I will be speaking, and you won't want to miss it. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to learn a lot, and we're going to become true men of God who can stand up and man up.
All right. Thanks, Chris. It's good. Yeah. The reason why we chose the venue, because Fortress Church is not a massive church, but it would hold that amount, the hundreds of men that are going to come, plus the breakout sessions, like 300 is one of the sessions being taught of a man in the local church. There'll be marriage ministry, the man in his marriage. There'll be single man. There'll be the millennial men, and just incredible time. Plus, you'll eat some good barbecue. Isn't that good? Yeah? So you want to make sure that you're part of that day with me from 9 to 4. Just that one day of intensity. We know you guys are busy, so we made one day that we would meet with God on that Saturday together as men. You need a guy bumping you while you worship. You need that sort of thing. You need to worship with all men if you're a man here, because it does something to you. Don't miss out God's blessing. Amen. Make sure that you make that appointment time from Saturday. You know you're not doing anything, so sign up. Amen. All right. I heard a funny story. Preacher, pastor's preaching Sunday morning sermon. It's forgive your enemies was the subject. And so after a long sermon, he began, you know, to make just count. He said, who's going to forgive their enemy here? And so only about like 50% of people raised their hand. It was that sort of church. Eyes open wide. And he said, still wasn't satisfied. So it's kind of like, you know, I got to sing it again. No, he had to preach it again. So he's still preaching another 15 minutes. And he repeated his questions. He said, you know, this time Sunday dinner's on their mind now. They said, who has an enemy that they need to forgive? And like 80% of the audience, you know, raised their hand, the congregation. This one little old lady in the back didn't raise her hand. And she, you know, so he said, Mrs. Jones, Why don't you forgive your enemies out loud, you know, embarrassing her. She says, I don't have any. And says, well, that's unusual. How old are you, Mrs. Jones? I'm 93 years old. So, Mrs. Jones, would you come down to the front and let us know how you can accomplish that? And so she teetered slowly out of her seat and teetered down the aisle and walked down the aisle. And 93-year-old, not having, you know. So little sweetheart, you know, she turned around slowly and she said, I just outlived them all. How many of y'all, everyone has questions, right? And so last Easter, we chose the top six questions that you ask. And this was like number four, the most asked questions, which is kind of interesting to me because we're always talking about unforgiveness and how to forgive people at Living Faith. So I'm saying, man, is it working what I'm teaching? You know, because we talk about that a lot at our church. But you know what? I don't think it's so much about that. Jesus told his disciples, like he's telling us, offenses are surely going to come. Just like you get hungry every day, if you're normal, you're going to get offended every day. If you don't want to get offended, you go live in a closet and close the door and let somebody slide peanut butter and jelly sandwiches underneath that crack. And eventually you're going to have trouble with that person sliding. They didn't put enough peanut butter on it. My bread's all, stale. So you're going to have trouble. You're going to get offended. Did you know that? Because you're living and you're living in a world. It's proving you're breathing today. So you asked for it on this one. How do I forgive? And you've been hurt or betrayed. You have conflict with a person today. And most people do. Even non-Christians and Christians. What's interesting about this one is we don't know how to respond to forgiveness and how to forgive people that we're in conflict with the right way, the biblical way today. So I'm going to show you the Bible way. How to forgive those that have hurt you. And even if you put it at this point, and they don't deserve it, because many of us have them in that category. Anne Lamott said this quick statement. She said, not forgiving is like drinking rat poison and then wanting that rat to die. So you're looking at the rat that messed you up and that you have conflict, and you want them to die, but you're the one that's dying. Did you understand that today? This probably won't be a shouting sermon. You can shout, but it's going to be those ones that you're going to want to push back on me. You're going to want to really push back on God. And so it's going to be kind of like this pulpit, amen? It's going to push back on you, amen? And you're going to keep it. You don't want to wobble like this thing does, right, everybody? And so the biggest lie that you can tell yourself is this: I don't care anymore. Ya me cansates, amen. I give up, amen. I ain't going. I don't care anymore. And do you know that's the biggest lie of the enemy? Because you just saying that you don't care proves you care because you're saying that. You know, I had these issues when I, because this is a tough sermon for me. So as I prepared, God really dealt with me. So last Sunday, I already knew what I was going to preach. Even I know what's going to happen this coming Sunday. We'll talk about that later. But I saw the Dallas Cowboys turn over back to Green Bay with a minute and something like seconds, and Aaron Rodgers did the impossible. So after the game, after he did the impossible, I said, I don't care anymore about the Dallas Cowboys. And they've hurt me too much this season already. It ain't even halfway season. And so we all got that issue of not caring, but you do care. So how many know, thank God, this is a bye week. I'm going to get to rest in the name of Jesus, right, everybody? There's a better way to live that way. And I'm talking about faith with your forgiveness. And that's why the world really can't forgive, because it takes something supernatural to forgive. It takes God within you and having the faith of God. And so you can try all day long, and you can even do it. You can try to do it without God, but you won't accomplish forgiveness. And so there's a list of progressions that happen about I don't care anymore when that hits you emotionally and you start feeling that today. And most of you are going to say, yep, 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 I know that list already, but wait for the end of it. And number one is this: it's extra notes, it's distance. And in any relationship that you get to, I don't care anymore, distance. It's not in your notes, it's extra notes. And that includes like nations fighting each other, not negotiating. That's why when there's conflict, let's send an envoy, let's send an ambassador, let's try to get this resolved before the nukes go up. Because there's been distance and we want to bring closure, and so ambassadors meet. Companies have that going on. Boss doesn't talk to the employee. Is he mad at me? There's distance. A church has that going on. Well, pastor didn't say hello to me. He must be mad at me. No, he was dealing with 50 other things. He's not mad at you. Amen. I would let you know if I was upset with you. Amen. And so it's not about that. And distance happens because there's in any relationship, you got to give energy to it, right? You got to pour yourself into relationship. It works both ways. In families, well, they're mad at me. There's, you know, they're in marriage relationship. How many have been divided in marriage at times? We all have. We've all been married in this room today that are married. And you pour yourself. And so the only reason distance happens, somebody shout neglect. Neglect happens. You can't put that thing on autopilot. No self-maintenance. When you've announced you're dead to me. You're dead to me. You even say it because you're a coward away from them. They're dead to me. I'm done. You get to that point because of distance. It leads to the second thought, walls. Somebody shout walls. And that's when you protect yourself. No one's going to get through this wall now. I'm going to shut it down. No one can touch me. And, yep, right, we've all been there. I'm going to protect. You know what's bad about walls? You protect yourself so much and you walled yourself up, not even good people can approach you. Not even God. You walled God out. And God can't speak because he speaks through people and the word of God, but he sure does. You thank God for the people that have approached me when I had a wall up. They spoke the right word in that season for my life, right, everybody? Not everybody, but a lot of people can do that. Escalation is the next one. And that's when the tongue is harnessed and you belittle people because they're happy and they've hurt you. You got to belittle them to bring them down to your level. Oh, I didn't say this was going to be a hallelujah sermon, but I know if you were Baptist, you'd be shouting in here. Amen. No, Episcopalians can shout. Amen. You pull them down and you make something bigger. You made it a big situation. And sometimes you go, you're fighting over that? Or that's conflict because you made it. One little thing started out so big. Amen. And I've lived this, and so have you, I think, in this room today because you're human. I almost got jury duty a season ago. And you know how I got out of it? I'll tell you about it right now. I'd made the cut. You know how you get, you know, I was like the American Idol, man. I finally made this cut. I was before the judge and the jury, and there was about probably 30 of us there, and they needed like the final 12 or whatever that was going to go in the jury box. And so that's when you finally get to hear the conflict, if you've approached that level. And the conflict was one guy was suing one guy over something else, and something had happened. But I saw right through it, and I was, you know, in the jury pool. So that's when they start questioning you. How do you feel about this case? And do you think you'd already judge this thing in your head without hearing all the rest of the evidence? And just in that little bit that I heard, I discerned real quickly. I said, this dude right, I didn't say that because I was, I said, this guy right here, he's suing this guy, but he's just trying to use that little bit of stuff that doesn't matter. And this is crazy. We shouldn't even be here wasting our time. And that's what I basically said. And the lawyer responded this way. I'm nobody, but the lawyer responded. He said, you're right. This is crazy. Why are we here? The lawyer that was defending the whole thing, that guy. And that brought me a one-way ticket out, and I was back on the street. Amen. And I got out of jury duty. Not that I wanted to, but, man, it was crazy to why be in there for something that had escalated. Now they were in court today. The next one is false belief. And that's clouded. You can't trust your emotion. And don't listen to yourself during false belief today. The Bible speaks of Satan, and he's the father of all lies in John chapter 7. So he speaks this language of lionese. All he does is lie, and he lies to you. You can't believe everything that you see on the internet, right, everybody? On Facebook. And so the greatest weapon that the enemy uses is a lie that goes into your head and it deceives you. And you're the enemy where I can't trust anybody. I don't trust anybody. And it's the greatest weapon. That's why the lies come. This will never work out for me. Our marriage has always been on the rocks. There's never been any love in our relationship. My son will always be rebellious. He wasn't, you know, this and that. And you believe the lie of Satan. And that's why it's full blown after this final one. Somebody shout hostility. It's a condition of your soul. That's brother against brother, husband against wife, wife against husband, son against junior, or junior against dad, and nobody's speaking to each other. And you know what is incredible? They're not even in the room, and you're still carrying around that offense, and you're hostile towards that. And there's no peace, there's no joy. How many want to get to the other side of this? Amen? I sure do. I want to learn principles from God's word because you asked for it. How do I forgive someone that doesn't even deserve to be forgiven today? The above list that you'll see, hostility, false belief, escalation, walls, distance. This was all of our relationships here before we received Christ as Savior. If you have Christ in your heart, there was hostility. There was false belief. How many believe, well, God's going to be this great white, you know, judge with a gavel, and he's ready to smush me, and he's ready to do me in, and he's thunder and lightning. And it's false belief about God. You escalated stuff. There's walls between you and God, and Jesus came along and tore down that wall. There's distance. God is so far away from me. And that's all of our lives before Christ came in to our lives. Why are you telling me that, preacher? Because I want to flip it around right now, because you had to wait for it. If that was our lives before Christ, now that we're in Christ, Christ has brought us close today because he did that for a purpose on the way that you treat people. Because you're close to God, now you can bring redemption to people. Because you're close to God now, you can bring others into the fold. You can embrace. This is not the posture of the cross. This is the posture of the cross. The posture of racism is this. The posture of the cross is this. I accept you. You're my brother, amen. We're all the same color on the inside. Give me a good amen. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 2, not in your handout, but on the big screen extra notes. It says this, 12, remember. And so when the Bible says remember, it wants you to remember the past. It wants you to remember the way it was before you found Christ. Remember the time that you were separated from Christ. I remember how lost my family was, right? I remember how far away we were from God, how we didn't have God in our home, right, everybody? The same that you were with that person now. Let's turn it around and look at it as a Christian. Remember how you are in conflict with that person. Remember how you are so far away from that person, how there's hostility now. There was no hope without God in the world, but now Christ Jesus, you once were there far away. But what brought you near? What brought you near? What brought you near? Underline, what brought you near? The blood of what? Christ. Not of a goat, not of an ox, not the blood of Mario, even though you'd want that right now. You'd want the blood of Christ. And who was the innocent one? Jesus. The innocent one always suffers. That's what I've learned. They go first. And so the innocence of Jesus and the perfect man and the one that obeyed every law and did everything right, he was the one that paid the price. And so must you as God's child today. You say, no way. The initiation point of restoration was Jesus, and he wasn't the one that was wrong. You know what I've noticed every time I'm in conflict with people and they tell me about it? that I'm there. I'm in the conflict. So that means I had something to do with it. Right or wrong. The only one that's perfect is Jesus. You may be offended with that person that hurt you and did wrong, and likely they did wrong, but they had a little bit to do with it, but so did you, innocent one, because the only one that's innocent is Jesus, right, everybody? And so it says this, and he himself is our peace. And don't you want that? Because check this out. You can't go back to daddy and get him to throw the football with you because you're 48 now. You're not 12 years old. And don't you want that? Check that out. Don't you want not to him to throw footballs with you anymore, but you want peace. You want to be able to sleep at night. You don't want the medication anymore that they're giving you because you've messed yourself up with unforgiveness so much that bitterness and rage and malice has taken over your life. And everyone in this room that has experienced this, you want peace. And only Jesus can provide that today. Right, everybody? And so no more conflict. That's what you wanted to stop. And he's made 2-1. It's not so much about who won the argument anymore. It's about now that we have peace. And he's destroyed the barrier. And somebody shout, the dividing wall of hostility.
The dividing wall of hostility.
I can hear you with my hearing aid up. Yeah, now I can. This isn't a Dr. Phil moment. Come on, let's just all get along, everybody. This ain't about that. It's about the cross of Christ and going to Jesus and seeing the perfect man on the cross, forgiving your sins, even though we were so far away from him today. That's what it's about today. Jesus did it, and now what's our part? I'm glad you're here Sunday morning. Ephesians 4:31, extra note. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling. What a list, right? Slander. That ain't our church, right? Along with every form of malice. There's things in the Bible that I wish were never written. Because I've done a couple of these. How about you? Amen. Yeah, all the brave people say amen. Yeah, the real people. But it said to replace them with not the world's way and the world's culture, but to replace it with heaven's way, the way they do things in heaven, that heaven would come to earth. It says this, be kind and compassionate with one another, forgiving each other, just as who? The mafia? No. Uncle Louie? No. Just as Christ forgave you. You get your peace back. Does this apply to your ex? That's a weak amen, but you can say yes. It applies to your ex. Does it apply to your cruel coworker that makes jokes about you behind your back? It applies to him or her. How about a drunk driver? Yeah. The law needs to get involved, but it applies even to that drunk, awful neighbor that just says, don't step into my yard. Don't let your dumb kids play on. Yeah. Awful neighbor too. How about a betrayer? Even the betrayer. Yeah. There's power as a Christian, as a believer, to do the just as Christ forgave you. If you begin to do that, you have power in your life to live the right way and to forgive. So you need to grasp the reality of how much you were forgiven by Christ. And when you grasp that reality, you just live better. You say, well, I've heard that, but I still don't have peace because I've been through millions of sermons in church. And so regardless about the peace, you need to kind of do what I did a few weeks ago in the sense of doing something in the natural that gives an illustration for the... I had to clean out some closet space in my closet. I had some shirts, you know, amen. Just, hey, I'm not an extra small anymore. Give me a good amen. They fit me kind of tight, and I've been hoping for years that they would fit again, and they ain't fitting anymore. So after 20 years, I'm not junior middle school weight anymore. Give me a good amen. I had to give them up, amen. And you don't want to carry around old baggage the same way that you've carried around from decade to decade. Get on the path, as painful as it is right now, but replace that anger with God's grace. Replace that malice with forgiveness in your life today. Take the journey, not according to feeling, because it's faith. By the authority of God's word, I give you something right now, amen. And you have the power to do these, all of them right now, and have that not feeling-centered life, but faith-centered life in God today. Every one of us has that ability because you're God's child, amen? Amen. The last time I looked, you looked like a lot like your Father in heaven. Give me a good amen, every one of us. Amen. You look like your daddy in heaven, amen. Number one is this, receive God's forgiveness. Why don't you say that? Receive God's forgiveness. Hit your neighbor and say, receive God's forgiveness. If you don't have anybody to look at me, amen. And you might say, you know what? I've done that. Check. I've gotten that one. Have you? Because some of us are still trying to earn God's forgiveness. It plays out like this sometimes in church. I've been bad this week. I've done all this bad stuff. And you walk into Living Faith, and man, I don't deserve to worship God. Look at those people on the front doing all. They deserve it, you know. You know what? Because you're still trying to earn it. I've been bad. I don't deserve to lift my hands. I don't deserve to even be in church, but I'm here. And you try to earn God's forgiveness. And God's not about that. Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Past? What you did 20 years ago? Present? What you're thinking about right now? Of me? Right now? God's forgiven you. Amen. What you're going to do tomorrow? God's forgiven you already. It doesn't mean to dance in the grace of God and get sloppy with the blood of Jesus. It means to live differently once you're forgiven, of course. And all the law people say, amen. But it means the grace of God. All my sins have been paid for by Jesus, past. And that's good news, right, everybody? Amen. I wrote a slide. I got a slide that I found in it. Look at that. You'll never have to forgive anybody more than God's already forgiven you. Think about that. How much has God forgiven you? A whole bunch, right? Just like Nava Boy here, right, everybody? Change happens when you begin to treat everybody the same way that Jesus treated you. And conflict happened, but no more. It was given to you, amen, freely on the cross. for all your sins today. Paul wrote to a church leader named Timothy, who was pastoring a great church in Ephesus. And he gave him this letter, and it's an easy read version. I love it. It's 1 Timothy 1:13 on the big screen and in your handout. Why don't we read it together on three? Are you ready? On three, yes? Get ready. One, everybody, 100%. Let's declare God's word in the house of the Lord. Right, everybody? One, two, three, go. In the past, I insulted Christ. As a proud and violent man, I persecuted his people. But God gave me mercy. I did that before I became a believer. But our Lord gave me the full measure of his grace. Here is a true statement. Christ came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. Yeah. I love this verse because if you look at the Apostle Paul, he names out what he was in the past. But he had the assurance that even God had forgiven. I was proud, violent. Remember how he held the coats of all those that were going to rock Stephen to death? Let me hold your coat so you can get more leverage on that rock as you throw it to this man. As Saul of Tarsus before his name became Paul. He was an assassin. And he did all this. He said, I did this before I became the believer. And he's mentioning God's grace on his life today. God gave me not only a little bit of grace, but isn't it a beautiful picture to get, man, I got the full measure. Amen. Give me a good amen. Amen. And so I notice about the Bible, he uses the worst of the worst characters in the Bible that you read about so he can illustrate to us that there's still hope for somebody like me, a knucklehead. How about you? Amen. And I'm so thankful for God's love towards my heart. You ask for it. How do I forgive? You and I, the issue that you have with God, that you had with God, was a lot worse than the issue that you have with that person. It really is. It really was and is, as history plays out today. Amen. That's why we need to settle this thing and come to the altar and come to God, that altar that you have in your heart, and say, Lord, I'm not going to walk that way. I want my sins to be washed away today. Amen. If you're having trouble forgiving people, it's because you have trouble grasping on how much God has forgiven you today. Yeah, you want peace in your life. You don't want to live that way. If you want to spend your life, if you're going to spend your life trying to earn the forgiveness of God, you will spend your life trying to make others forgive you and earn their forgiveness. You got to do step one before you do step two. Are you ready? Step two, freely give what you've received freely. Freely give what you've received. And this is the missing ingredient. Every one of us, again, in this room has the capacity to do what God's calling us to do this morning, that you leave changed from this room. You've received God's mercy. You received it free. You receive grace that's free. Amen. Do you know why I show so much mercy to people now? And I've learned this too late in life. I wish I'd have learned it when I was 20-something, 15-something, especially for you young people. If you can learn this early on, you'll avoid all sorts of sickness in your life. You'll avoid all sorts of migraines, separation, things that don't. Your marriage will be better. It will really be better. If you can learn to give mercy away to people that don't deserve it, but you give it away because it was given to you freely, you'll live a whole lot better. See, some of us give mercy only to those things we identify with. Well, I can have mercy because I'm an ex-alcoholic, and he's an alcoholic. And then you don't give mercy away because you've never known alcohol or substance abuse, or you've never known. But you give mercy away to people that are gossips because you were once a gossip. Now you've been set free. You give it all away. You give mercy because that same measure that you judge people with, you'll get judged back. And so if you are merciful to the alcoholic, you are merciful to the gossip, you're going to receive mercy back. You make no distinction about it, right, everybody? Paul had the right thought about this, how forgiven people forgive today. And so stop charging people with conflict. You better earn this. You better do it right. You better give it to me right, or I'm not going to do this. And you don't do that today, according to God's word today. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, the new version to read here. God was bringing the world back to himself through Christ. He did not hold the people's sin against them. Now in the matter of conflict, you can't do that either because Jesus would have done that to you and you wouldn't be in this church right now. even if you would have snuck in. Give me a good amen. And God trusted us with the message that people will be brought back to Him. And that's Christ's official messengers. We are that now. And our job is to treat people the same way that you were treated by Jesus. Right, everybody? And it is as if God is making a special appeal to us. Come on home. Come back home. This is your house today. Come on home. Welcome home. Right, everybody? I'm not holding a grudge anymore or a fist. Here's what Christ begs us to do. Come back to God. Christ didn't have any sin, and Christ did that. But God gave Him sin for us today. And so we're made right with God because Christ has become, because Christ has done this for us today. Right, everybody? There was this great debt that you had. You had eaten appetizers at that restaurant. You'd eaten the main course. You'd even gotten dessert. And then when you looked at it, you had no money. The debit card was maxed out. The credit card was maxed out. Someone was going to have to pay. And that restaurant manager wasn't going to take you back again. Amen. Not even washing dishes. They were going to go out and beat you behind the alley where the dumpster's at, where they throw all the old food away. But somebody came along and says, no, put it on my tab. Here's my check, debit. Here's my money. Pay that $500 bill restaurant. Pay that $100 bill restaurant. Here it goes. Here it goes. Pay it all off. And that was Jesus. He washed the dishes for you. He took the beating in the alley, literally, for you until He died. And He did that for your debts. And isn't that good news for everybody in this room? That's the best news all. He carried your zero debt, zero, nada. Don't charge Him anything. And isn't that the way, the least that we can do to express our love towards other people that have hurt us, that we're in conflict with? You have the same mercy. Generously offer it back to people the same way you've generously been given God's mercy on your life today. Amen? Well, let me tell you what He did for them. What they did. Okay, yeah. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. And then I can express that back to you today. There's this beautiful painting that Norman Rockwell painted in the 1960s. And the girl that he painted, her name was Ruby Bridges. And there was a true story during the history of our nation that it was segregated New Orleans, Louisiana. And they segregated, they told her as an African-American child to go to an all-white school. And as I researched the story, I saw the Google photographs, not the painting, of the angry people that were really fighting this six-year-old little girl. Imagine your six-year-old child getting off the bus and they faced an angry mob. Her mom and dad would take her to, of course, school every day because they had to. And they taught her principles of faith, and no one really knows the back end of the story. And one of the Google photographs that I saw was this child about her age that was an Anglo boy. And he had this billboard raised up, and it says, "All I want for Christmas is a white, clean school." And how did a six-year-old boy learn to do something like that? Or write a sign like that? It's taught to him, of course. They had an African-American baby in a coffin and a doll, and they would point it towards Ruby as she walked in. What's a child that's six-year-old? She later recounts as an adult now, and as she is, she says, "I didn't know really what was going on. All I knew is what my parents taught me at home, and they taught me the ways of faith." And this psychologist comes in into the picture, and he begins to say, "I'm going to give your family free counseling, especially with what you're going through as parents, but especially as your child, I want to make sure." And so he's there at the table with her, and she's coloring as a six-year-old doesn't have any idea. And she says, "Ruby, I noticed that first day that you walked up the steps, that you ran back down away from the deputy marshals that were escorting you for safety, but you ran back down the steps, and you were mouthing something. What was it that you were saying? Were you shouting back at the crowd that were cursing you and telling you stuff about being at their all-white school?" She said, "No, because every day," she put down the crown, "every day I would pray in the car before I would get to school, and I would pray for the people that were going to curse at me, that were going to tell me things. And I forgot to pray that day." And so I ran back down the stairs, and she said, "Well, I saw you saying things." She said, "I was saying a prayer, and I was saying something like this, Lord, forgive these people," as a six-year-old would say, "forgive these people because they don't know what they're saying. Jesus, you taught me that in your word because people 2,000 years ago didn't know what they were doing to you either. Yeah. And that principle of faith about Christ and what he did for us at the cross, they don't know what they're doing, and that's where forgiveness. I challenge you to pray for your enemies today because that's what the Bible says, not what I say. I pray that you would bless those that curse you today because that's the way of the kingdom. And it's not what I say, it's what God says today. Yeah. It's a challenge to meet Jesus at the cross today. The uniqueness of our Savior is that he went first. And so must you as a believer. You must go first. You must be the first one to apologize. You must be the first one that asks for forgiveness. Three is this. Somebody say, go first. You've been waiting all week long to write this one. Go first. Amen. You can write that in today. I don't want you to put away your stuff. I want everybody to be still even at the end of it because you got one more fill in the blank. And you got to say, I got to get this one right. I'm going to give it to you, but will you do me a favor when I get to that point? Would you stay still and not move around? Because it's very important what we do. I don't even want the band to come up at this point, okay? Even at the end, you know how we usually do? We'll do it at the end of prayer. Is that cool with everybody? Because it's that important right now. I don't want anybody moving around today. I usually don't ask that, but would you give me that liberty today? Amen. Thank you, non-band members that said amen. Give me a good amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Let's read this together out strong, out loud. But one, two, three. But God demonstrated his own love while we were yet. Yeah. The uniqueness of Jesus is that he went first. But while we were yet sinners, he was still being nailed to the cross. He was still being whipped. He was still being, his clothes were being, let's roll the dice to see who gets his jacket. Let's roll the dice who gets his shoes. And all that was happening to him on the cross while he died. And he went first. And so I'm thinking, even in the past, he was thinking, is Mario really going to buy into this 2,000 years from now? Is Bob going to really buy, is he going to live for me the way I'm dying for him right now? Is he really going to buy into this before I take these nails, before I get separated from my Father in heaven? Is this really going to happen? But even before that, he saw you in this church and he saw you living for him. Jesus paid the price. Isn't incredible? So you must go first. You have to, right, everybody? The first to forgive, listen to this, is always the happiest person in the room. Just get you free, right, everybody? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Yeah, God is calling you to a place of faith today. James chapter 3, verse 17, the Message Bible. Real wisdom, God's wisdom. It contrasts really the world. Well, the world says do it this way, that way, and it's not working. That's why you're on medication still. Begin with a holy life, and it's characterized by getting along with who? The people that you have conflict with, or it wouldn't mention anything if you were getting along with them. It's gentle, it's reasonable, it's overflowing with and blessing. Not one hot day, one day, I'm cold the next day, not two-faced. You develop a healthy, robust community that you live right with God and enjoy the results only that you do because it's hard work to get along with everybody. Give me a good amen. Amen. Treating everybody with dignity and honor. My son, and he watches this telecast sometimes. He wrecked my car. I was so disappointed. He wrecked the car that we gave him. I was so disappointed in the boy. And our insurance rates went up. And I was so disappointed again in Andrew. But he's never stopped being my son. Some of you need to hear that because you've wrecked the car. You've done so many things that are bad. You've said the wrong stuff to people that didn't deserve it. You're the offendee. You're the one that offends everybody. And God still forgive you. You never stop being God's child. Get set free from that right now. You don't have to earn it. Amen. Now, Andrew's improved his driving ability. That makes Dad proud. Give me a good amen. And our insurance rates are going to go down eventually. Give me a good amen. Amen. Yeah, but preacher, you've said those stories, and you read all these scriptures, but you still don't know my story. And if I told you my story, you'd be yeah, yeah. You know what? And if you had time, I would hear your story. I'd probably go, after I hearing your story, I would go, man, I hate that dude too. He did that to you? Yeah, I hate him too. Yeah. But that's not the point. It's not about your feeling. It's not about how I feel towards him after you tell me the story. It's about what God commands. It's about your choice that you'll make this morning. Right, everybody? Amen. Jesus is in the garden. And he said, it wasn't a feeling that Jesus wanted to go to the cross. It was like, can we do this, Father, any other way? Because it's sure going to hurt in a couple of hours. And I sure don't want to be separated from you. But he said, not my will, but your will be done. And the will of God is a choice that you make, not a feeling. Stop being, get ruled not by emotion, amen. You know I was going to say a cuss word, but I didn't, amen. I'm a Christian. Give me a good amen. The famous last words of people are so important. That's why when Abuelita is in her bed and she's giving you that final instruction and you've been dating that girl and you walk in and you walk in without her because it's a dignified moment, an honoring moment. You want to hear Abuelita's last words. And she's saying, mijo, leave that girl. She's a witch. And you walk out of that room and that girlfriend says, hey, what did your grandma say? It's over, baby. Grandma spoken. Famous last words are real important. So Jesus' last words before he gave up his spirit, they were these. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're. And that was a choice on his part, not a feeling because the cross was hurting, the migraine because of the crown of thorns were on his head. It was all hurting Jesus. So it wasn't a feeling that he was going through. It was a choice that he made. And so as God's child, God's son or daughter, you look just like your father. You make the same choice today. Choices lead, but feelings make the right choice so you live today. Let's pray. I usually tell you to bow your heads at this point, but why don't you pray with your eyes open today? I give you permission. I'll tell you in a moment to bow your heads and do that, but right now, just pray, because I pray with my eyes open when I drive. How about you? Yeah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the cross and the benefits of it, Lord. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for the word that you brought through worship and word, Lord, to this congregation. And there's no doubt about it, Jesus, that you died for my sins. You made a way for me, along with my brothers and sisters in this room. And as we look at each other today in a prayerful attitude and an attitude towards God, you've been offended today. You've been hurt. And you need to be real honest before God today. And I'm not looking to see your hand, but I'm asking you to express it in a way that you do something and you make the right choice. And the right choice right now begins in the natural, so feelings get overrode right now in this point. You've been offended. If that's anybody, would you lift your hand? The rest of you are lying because I guess you don't live on planet Earth. Okay, you can put your hands down. You're the point. You can put your hands down. You've been at the other end. You've been the one that offended everybody. You've hurt everybody. If that's you, would you lift your hand? I guess you're Jesus, some of you guys in this room, because really, I mean, yeah. We've all done this. We make the choice today. Let me pray for you and let's pray for each other. Lay your hand on your heart. Now close your eyes and bow your head just like I'm doing. Father, touch my heart, Lord. I can't escape this earth, God. I can't live in a closet like the rest of my brothers. I got to do life with people. I got to go on, Lord. But I pray right now that you would do something in my heart, God, that I would make choices that are right, that are kingdom-oriented, that are God-oriented, that look just like Jesus, my Savior. Help me to live that way, Lord. I know that they don't deserve it. I see their faces right now, but now I choose to see the face of Christ and God my Father. And he's full of redemption. The happiest person in the room is the one that goes first and forgives. So, Lord, I want joy to come back to my life. You're making a prayer like that. I want peace to come back. Give the people of God peace because of the choice that they're making. Not the feeling, but the choice today. Thank you, Jesus. Settle this matter now, Lord, and bless us. And I'll make this prayer again, probably by the end of the day, Lord. I'll need your forgiveness. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those that have trespassed against me. Give me my daily bread, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed and no one looking around, you've taken your shame. You've taken your heart and you've taken your sin. And you can't afford to live that way. You're going to pay for something that shouldn't be paid for by you. It's an eternity separated from God. And God's allowed his son Jesus, because he made that choice to send Jesus, the perfect one, to die on the cross for your shame and for all your sin. You want to say yes to Christ because you've never said yes to him. I'll do this in a moment right now. You're far away from God. You've distanced yourself. And today, God is saying, not with a posture of his arms folded towards you, not saying no, 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 but God is saying yes, 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 and my arms are open to you. You're in this room. You're on Facebook Live right now. You need a moment of forgiveness right now. You can pray along with us. I'm going to ask that your hand is lifted. I won't embarrass you, but I'll see your hand. I'll lead you in a prayer from this pulpit today that you can do that. If that's anybody in the house right now, let me see your hand so I can pray for you. I won't embarrass you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. About six, again, on Facebook right now. The musicians, you can come right now as we get ready to dismiss. Come quickly. We lifted our hands towards the holy God, not towards anyone. We're not joining this church, but we're joining the family of God, God's family right now, and he welcomes you home. All those that lifted their hand, you're going to pray a prayer loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. Would you pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear if your hand went up by faith right now? All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah. The sinners that are saved by grace in this room, join my brothers and sisters that lifted their hand. They're my brothers. They're my sisters, right? That they're your brothers. So we're going to pray this together with you today. Pray it loud enough right now. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. Make me new again. Thank you, Lord. All my shame is gone. My sins in the past, my sins in the present, my sins in the future have been washed away by Jesus. I say yes to you, Lord. I'll follow you all the days of my life. Thank you for the redemption story. I follow you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. God is good. Come on, celebrate about seven people that received Christ. Thank you, Lord, for new life at Living Faith Church. Thank you for those that received Christ on Facebook. Amen. You have a comment card, a connection card right in front of you. You can fill that out if you receive Christ. Christina, you can come on up. Make sure that you fill that out. If you have a special prayer request, I'll pray for that. I take that very personally, and we pray for that during the week, and we believe that God answers our prayer today. Finally, right here in the foyer,